Shortly after her husband, Jim Elliott, and four other missionaries were speared to death trying to reach out to a tribal group in Ecuador, Elizabeth Elliott was able to live and work with the same tribe for 2 years. It's a remarkable story of forgiveness, love, and the power of the gospel to change lives. Through her visits here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth continues to reach out with the timeless message of hope and healing. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you this time about the context of fruit bearing. I'm taking my illustrations for this talk from the love story of Jim Elliott and me. I told you a little bit about its beginnings in my last talk and how we thought that perhaps in spite of the fact that we were in love, God might possibly be leading us both into the single life as being the necessary context in which we were to serve him, because we both knew that there are kinds of missionary work which require singleness. And in spite of our feelings for each other, we were not closing our minds to the possibility that this was the direction in which God was leading us. And we both had plenty of spiritual ups and downs. If you read parts of Jim's journals, you would think that he was a spiritual giant at the age of 20. You read other parts and you find out that he was really a very ordinary, down-to-earth guy with plenty of downs. And I remember being encouraged by one of Jim's letters in which he told me that while he was visiting in the East, doing a little bit of speaking just before he left for the mission field, he had visited a man who raised chrysanthemums in his basement. And one of the things that this man told Jim, which rang a bell immediately in Jim's mind and made him think of a hymn which he had memorized, was the fact that there are certain periods when the chrysanthemums need to be in the dark. And Jim then remembered a phrase from what is called Rutherford's hymn. It's written by Annie R. Cousin, but she took the 20 verses of her hymn, The Sands of Time Are Sinking, from the writings of Samuel Rutherford. And he had spoken about the need of flowers for darkness. And her stanza goes like this: but flowers need night's cool darkness, the moonlight and the dew. So Christ, from one who loved it, his shining oft withdrew. And when, for cause of absence, my troubled soul I scanned, yet glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. And Jim wrote to me shortly after that, that God had assuaged all doubt in his mind about his feelings for me. He said, I covenanted with the Father that he would do either of two things, either glorify himself to the utmost in me or slay me. By his grace, I shall not have his second best, for he heard me, I believe, so that now I have nothing to look forward to but a life of sacrificial sonship. He cannot fail us. He may lead us oceans apart, and can we not trust him for that too? But are we so childish, I do not say childlike, as to think that a God who could scheme a Jesus plan would lead poor pilgrims into situations they could not bear? May he not so often have to address us as, O you of little faith? Our expectations of the ways in which God works are very often unrealistic, wildly wide of the mark. Some think that God works magic and expect him to move in and change things or change people. We all would like to see him do that at times, wouldn't we? We find ourselves in a difficult situation. We start hammering and banging away at God's door. Do something, Lord. Get me out of this. Get that person out of my life. Change this situation. Give me a different job. Give me another house. And God doesn't necessarily move in and change anything as far as we can see. Then there are others who look for spiritual opportunities in the form of new contexts. They feel that if they could just get out of this situation, away from this set of circumstances, then perhaps they could serve God. It's not in these ordinary circumstances and tasks that I want to serve him. It's in those. Well, let me read again from one of Jim's journal entries, November 20th, 1950. They made me a keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. So the lover of the song. He was quoting from the Song of Solomon. How I experience this daily, only one who knows responsibility can understand. You wonder what it's all about. Excuse me, I think I said this was a journal entry. This was actually a letter to me. Here are some typical examples. Foreign Missions Fellowship team to Aurora College, 3 meetings for planning and prayer. Complete reorganizing of Foreign Missions Fellowship literature. Plans for advertising a new practical missions course under Professor Windsor and Dr. Martin. Gospel team to the Baptist Church in Chicago Sunday night. Student council meeting Monday night. Prayer group leaders and relief board meeting Tuesday. FMF Wednesday. Christian council meeting Thursday. Trip to North Central College with student council. Friday, FMF executive prayer meeting. Then the sending of 800 packages of books to alumni missionaries in a workshop that lasted till 11:30 p.m. and they're not stamped yet. Well, I think you get the idea. A yoke is a good thing for a young man, according to Lamentations 3:27. Good for his neck and will, but oppressive to a zealous spirit. Especially when I'm supposed to be an honor student and there's not a single course of which I can say, well, I've got that one under control. And ringing in my ears is Coach Olson's last remark, why weren't you out to practice last night, Elliot? This is, I know, a wonderful context in which to bear spirit fruit. Let me ask you this. Do you live in a wonderful context in which to bear spirit fruit? The answer is yes, you do, whether you realize that or not. What is spirit fruit? Well, according to the book of Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. Have you got those fruits in your life? Just take the first three, for example, love, joy, peace. Well, some of the time, you could say, once in a while, I act in true love, unselfishly. Joy, well, yeah, things aren't really too bad. I have a lot of happiness. No, I'm not talking about happiness. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, which doesn't depend on happiness. Peace, how peaceful, how serene is your life. Patience, what is the context in which you would expect to learn patience? How is God going to enable you to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience? The story is told of a woman who came to, I think it was Dr. Ironside, and said, "Brother, please pray that God will give me patience. I need patience." And so he put his arm on her shoulder and he said, "Oh Lord, send this dear sister all kinds of tribulation." "Wait, wait, wait," she said, "that's not what I asked for. I need patience." And he said, "How would you expect to learn it? The scripture says, tribulation worketh patience." Temptation comes in the form of the opposites of these fruits. And the opposites can easily be found exactly in the context where you and I are living today. Love, for example. Well, think of the opposite. I live with a husband now. I've lived without a husband for most of my life, but right now I have one. And I don't think there's ever a time when I really think that I hate Lars, but there are times when I actually act in a hateful way. I got very upset with him yesterday. I wanted to really get back at him and make him realize that he had irritated me and hurt me. What is the response of love? The temptation came to me in the form of vindictiveness and revenge. That is the very context in which God wants to teach me how to love. I can't do it by myself. It's a fruit of the Spirit. The opposite of love is not necessarily hatred, but a small selfishness. What about joy? What are the temptations which come in the form of the opposites? Well, just plain grumpiness. Do you ever feel grumpy out of sorts, don't talk to me, I haven't had my coffee yet kind of thing. A spirit of complaining, the opposite of joy. Peace? What is the temptation that comes to you today in the context where you are living? The opposite of peace is anxiety. Are you worried about anything? Jesus said, don't worry about anything whatsoever. Take no thought for tomorrow. The morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Patience. Well, I was in the checkout line yesterday in a grocery store. Does it ever fail if you're in a hurry that you get into the line where somebody's check has to be taken over to the customer service desk to be checked out, or the cashier has just run out of quarters and so she has to stop everything in the cash box until she gets some quarters? Something happens. The context of fruit bearing is the grocery checkout line. You ever get stuck in a traffic jam when you've got an appointment? What kind of context do we think would be more fruitful than the very one in which we live? Fidelity, tolerance, self-control. There is no better context than the place where you are right now, because God will always see to it that you and I are in the very set of circumstances which are best designed by His sovereign love to give us the opportunity to bear fruit for Him.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.